Right, I'm, yeah. Hello, welcome to Roy. Sorry. Hello, welcome to Radio Gorgeous. My name's Josephine Pembroke.
And I'm Donna Freed.
So today on the show, we have a special guest, Victoria Sadler, ex-city banker, and is now a burlesque cabaret performer. But, and I'm looking forward to that, but before that, we're going to talk a little bit about the show today. Who did Mary Killen, our star interviewer, who did she
Our
interview?
gorgeous correspondent, Mary
Yes.
Killen. She talked to Eileen Riley, who used to be a pet nanny. And Mary is a huge lover of animals, so she talks to her about her the secrets of a pet nanny.
Okay, so for dog and cat and hamster lovers out
And
there.
giraffe, whatever you have.
Exactly. And then I interviewed fashion designer called Gail Berry, who makes women look fabulous. I'm not joking. She can raise your bottom, flatten your stomach. She can give you a waist, all the things we're desperate for. And she can make you feel so confident in her clothes. So I beg you to listen because she's inspiring. Now to this week's Gorgeous Gossip. And our guest is Victoria Sadler. She was an internal auditor in the city who took up burlesque dancing, swapping daytime suits for pink sequins, spangles, and feathers in the evening. We're talking about burlesque dancing, which really is, if we're honest, it's striptease. We expect me, an ex-cabaret singer myself, I was in a group called Pussies Galore, to be kind of confident about kind of maybe showing off on stage and maybe stripping down. Or Donna, who is a self-confessed extrovert, and when she came to my house this summer, was skinny dipping quite often. But you worked in a very straight place, the City of London.
A very straight place and a very male place.
Yes.
I had been working in the Square Mile, a world of men built by men for men for some years. And I think a few years ago, I was really in a disillusioned career girl place. I think, which is something a lot of people feel about, where I was very much the archetype feminist, brought up to know that the world was mine and I could do it if I anything I wanted to, providing I just worked hard enough. And the career wasn't fulfilling me. I was very good at it and very successful, but there was something missing. So I actually fell into burlesque. I was looking, as you do.
Or fell out.
Well, that would come later. But what I was looking for was an outlet. And what I realize now in retrospect is why didn't I take up salsa or belly dancing or something
Yeah,
more
that's what I was wondering.
Or go to
mountain
climb,
climbing
exactly, or become a gym bunny. Why did I go for something so extrovert? Which is interesting because I'm actually an introvert.
You are.
Unlike you, unlike you, I am an introvert. And I realize in retrospect, a lot of that has to do with where I was working at the time, where individuality and creativity and femininity, these are not prized terms in the city. In fact, you go further if you suppress your individuality and go for the corporate body. But
Yeah, sounds awful.
you're always told that's the right thing to do because the career is great. So I actually went looking for showgirl lessons. You know, I had visions of the Las Vegas girls with the huge headpieces and their little spangly bikinis and Rio Carnival, all the feathers, something very dramatic. And I found, funny enough, London isn't exactly flush with showgirl schools. But I found something called the London Academy of Burlesque. I had no idea what burlesque was, but they said they could turn me into a showgirl. So I thought, oh, good luck to you. So I turned up for the first lesson and I was a duck out of water. I mean, all the other girls were incredibly glamorous, beautiful makeup, coiffed hair, in the vintage curls, pencil skirts, fitted blouses. And there was me in my Hugo Boss navy trousers, Adidas trainers, and a nice sort of suit jacket over the top, thinking, wow, I am out of
So you
place.
literally were came back from work outfit.
Exactly. Straight from work, straight from the trading floor. And through burlesque, through these lessons that I had with this lady called Jo King, who is the most famous burlesque teacher in London, I found I had this skill. And interestingly, and what you come down to about confidence, I found I had no qualms about striptease. Which is a surprise because all these other girls in my class who you can't see me on the radio, everybody, but I am a very curvy size 14. And all the other girls in my class were very slim, very model-esque, straight from the pages of Vogue. They looked
Perfect
great.
then.
Perfect
Perfect.
as the archetype perfect beauty. But when it came to them taking off their blouses, their skirts, you could see them look away from their reflection. You could see their movements become jarred and more awkward. They'd become very wooden. And for me, there was me like, woohoo, I can't wait to get my tie and shirt. I'll get these trousers off. It didn't occur to me to judge my reflection, which seems an odd thing. And I don't know whether that's because I have never had any qualms about my own personal nudity. I mean, I sunbathe topless, for example, or things like that. Or whether it's because I've never read beauty magazines, for example, because I've always been reading The Economist or The Financial Times. And it doesn't have page three girls in them or anything. But anyway, so I found myself completely at ease with my body, even though my body is not straight from the cover of Marie Claire or something like that. And so the teacher took me aside at the end of the course and she said, Victoria, I think you should go onto the stage. Oh, and wow. I was like, you know what? I'm doing 12, 14 hours a day at work. I don't really have time. It didn't occur to me at that point that there could be a clash in ideology. I just always looked at it the point of my career comes first. Do I have any time for it? But I thought, well, I don't really have a social life considering I work in the city. So I thought, okay, I'd give it a go. And so I started to take my first tentative steps onto the cabaret stage. I performed in Soho, performed in Notting Hill, performed in these little cabaret restaurants.
And how did you get the gigs?
Well, I first started from the teacher that she took me under her wing and she got me onto my first couple of shows.
Sort of promoted you.
Exactly. But there were other people in the audience who had seen me perform. And I was doing very much a modern burlesque. So I didn't really understand makeup or vintage. I was still a tomboy.
So what exactly did look like?
So I was dancing. I didn't really know Josephine Baker. Isn't that terrible? All these great heroines from the past or fan dancers. So I was dancing to Madonna, to Kylie, to Goldfrapp. And I had, you know, all my images were of the 80s. So I had my little fake Gaultier attempt at a gold conical bustier. I had my little hot pants like Kylie from the Spinning Around video. So I was doing it a bit more modern. And I think some promoters who saw me in the audience thought, oh, here's someone who's doing something a bit different. And so from then on, they asked me.
Yeah. Was it like, did people want you in nightclubs? Because it sounds like it could be a kind of fun club act, you know, is it that sort of thing?
I had a seated audience. Mm. So often the audiences were having dinner while I was dancing around in them. And it was a great variety in audience. You would have the hen parties, you know, the very loud girls on a night out. You would also have some couples, and you could see the interaction between the couples change.
Getting you turned on.
Exactly. And almost sort of the girl, the woman in the couple would be, sometimes they'd be like, we shouldn't have come here for our third date or whatever. And the man sometimes didn't really know how to react. Should I say that I'm excited or should I sit very reserved and just nod along? So you'd see this interaction, but the audiences were very varied. But yes, seated down, having a meal.
All right, but so this became, you know, at the same time as you have your city job and that being a workplace, this was also becoming sort of like a sideline workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difference between, you know, your relationship with your colleagues or your relationship with your audience? What was going on there for you?
With regards to how differently I treated them, do you know what? I became two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's interestingly is, as you probably know, when you said you're a former cabaret star, I performed under a pseudonym too.
Yeah,
I performed under Victoria L'Etoile. I found French. Everything sounds better in French, right? So I went for Victoria L'Etoile. So on the stage, I actually became an alter ego. I became a showgirl. So I found myself constantly compartmentalizing my own life. Like my burlesque showgirl, I didn't tell anyone from work about my burlesque hobby. Not necessarily out of shame, but because they weren't really my friends. They were my colleagues.
Yeah.
And also I was desperate just for a life away from banking that was genuinely mine. My mother, for example, never even turned up to any of my performances. She was appalled. She was like, good God, Victoria, what have you done? So it was actually a completely separate life for me. In banking, you never even saw a transference. So I didn't even become highly feminized in my appearance at work. I still maintained that very city boy wardrobe, attitude, very little makeup, long hours. So I really became almost a split personality.
So when did the conflict happen? Because you ended up by having to leave the city because of your job.
It still seems insane to me now to even talk about it, because there are so many themes this brings out about discrimination and even about being individual in the workplace. What happened is I had a couple, this obviously I was a burlesque performer for a number of years. I had this double life for a number of years. And in that time, I did develop a couple of very close friends at work. They happened to know that I did burlesque at the side. I missed a leaving drinks at work because, ironically, I was performing. I was doing an act based from Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz in Camden. So I could not go to, as you do. So I could not go to a leaving drinks. And obviously at the leaving drinks, everyone got a bit drunk. And I had just been promoted. And it came out at this leaving drinks where I wasn't there that I had this burlesque sideline. Someone who I beat to the promotion, a colleague of mine, a fellow woman, heard that I did burlesque. She went onto YouTube to find something and she found a copy of this routine of me doing Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz from a show I'd done a couple of months previous for Joe King, my teacher. She handed that YouTube video in to the heads of my bank. Oh. I had just been promoted to senior man. I was in senior management now. And she said, "Is this the kind of person you want in management?" The bank saw the video. They called me immediately into HR. And this was after the credit crunch. So the banks were falling onto their knees. So apparently they had enough time still to watch burlesque videos. But they called me into HR and they said, "Victoria, what you are doing is shameful and you are bringing the bank into public disrepute. You are up for dismissal."
Wow.
For a year, I had to fight this bank, one of the biggest investment banks in the world, to say, "What you are doing to me is discrimination."
Yeah.
"And it is also prejudice. Mm. And if you actually fire me, I will take you to court." And it took them for wrongful dismissal. It took me a year to fight the bank. But in one of those really perverse situations, I eventually won. But of course, I had lost because anyone who takes on their employer is persona non grata. So my career was over.
What, you just thought, no one, everyone's being horrible here, I've got to go?
Well, they actually offered me hush money. They offered me money.
So you're in the role of a whistleblower.
Exactly. Wow. So they said, "We will pay off, we'll pay you to leave, but it comes with a payment. And that payment means that you can never talk about this ever again." And I was very much being my Joan of Arc, flag in the mountain kind of attitude. And I just thought it was appalling that they could buy my silence. So I said, "No, how dare you? How dare you?" And I said, "I'm going to write about this and I'm going to talk about this, because you, for a year, you were implying that a man can enjoy going to strip clubs.
And gentlemen's clubs. What do the men do at your work?"
Everything you read about the city is true.
Tell us the worst things.
Well, the worst things for me are the frauds on the trading floor. You know, what the things that brought the banking system down. That for me is the truly terrible thing. So when they were claiming that I was bringing the bank into public disrepute, these were banks that were taking billions and billions and billions from the taxpayer because they had done disreputable trading. So I just thought, if you think me doing burlesque is worse than that, you have got your priorities off skew. Yeah. But of course, when people talk about city boys, they think of the tinsel. They think of the strip clubs, the expensive champagne, the boys on the town. And all of that is completely true. And it's extraordinary that a man, what they were saying to me is that a man, a trader, can take their clients to a strip club, which exists for the male gaze. So there's no sort of female empowerment in it. It's all just that's there to elicit a sexual response in the men. And that is all right for you to enjoy. But for a woman to subjectively take herself and put herself on the stage and do something like burlesque, you are saying is reprehensible. There is a discrimination between those two points. If you're going to allow a man to enjoy a striptease, then you have to be able to allow a woman to perform it. You can't have the two.
Two-way thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And they wouldn't have that. It was one rule for man, one rule for woman. And what's interesting also on a far bigger scale is that they were doing this same old hammer that we've heard every generation since, I don't know, dawn began, is that a woman cannot be intelligent and sensual. That if she's smart, she buttons up. She does her, you know,
Yeah.
But she keeps her top button mm-hmm. done up and there is no sensuality. She is Madonna or a whore. She's saint or sinner. That there is no middle ground. And it's so disappointing to me because I love burlesque because it's fun. I enjoy it. I get creative joy out of it and so does the audience. So to demonize me because I enjoy my own sensuality. I mean, we're going back 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. We're not moving forward if we're constantly going to say to women, keep your clothes on. Which is
what's annoying is some women can and some women can't. That's what they're saying.
Well, it's, indeed.
It's even worse, you know. It's like, it'd be all right if they're saying all women, it's terrible. But no, they're saying for some women, that's what they do as a job. That's fine. But that's their job. That, you know, that's they're labelled, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you yeah. over there, you yeah. over there.
And with yeah. that label comes mm. a judgment mm. that the women who choose to do that are not as important or as to be celebrated as women who choose not to do that.
Yeah.
And that's so deeply frustrating. So that's actually how I ended up talking to you today. Yeah. That is my little route to chatting
because
to you.
You have written a book.
I have. Banking on Burlesque is about the double life. So it looks at how awful the city was in the run-up to the credit crunch, the immense pressure of working on the trading floor, and the kind of deals that were done that we realise in retrospect were morally reprehensible. But it also looks at what's it like to be a burlesque showgirl, especially for me. I'm not writing a book saying, oh, I'm Dita Von Teese, look how glamorous and wonderful I am. I am a city girl who suddenly went, right, I have no idea how I put on a false eyelash. And I don't have any corsets. And what on earth is hot fix glue? And where do I buy feathers? And so it's this incredibly fun, exciting revelation. And what's it actually like to get up and, like you say, take your clothes off on stage and be free with that? And of course, the repercussions that can happen when the two collide.
It's absolutely fascinating, but I do have to ask you, are you still performing?
I am still performing. It took me a while to write the book, so I threw myself into writing with a great passion.
Yeah,
as you can imagine, I had a lot to say. But I really respect the art of burlesque and the amount of preparation it goes into creating an outfit, creating a persona, the hair, the makeup. So it's going to take me a couple of months to get back, but yes, I am back, and hopefully with some television maybe next year as well, so
now,
we shall see.
I'd love to know what your new character is, and you know, because I know you've been doing Dorothy.
Well, I thought, you know, I think it's one thing I love about burlesque is the satire. So my character is Gordon Gekko from Wall Street.
Fabulous.
So I thought, well, why He's not? Good. Let's embrace this irony here. So I start off Gordon Gekko, greed is good, absolutely. You know,
what
the speech.
What are you wearing at that point?
I'm dressed as Gekko, dressed as a man, got my braces, got my tie, got my hair slicked back, and then I have a bit of a greed is good speech, and then in comes Material Girl by Madonna, and I striptease to reveal the woman underneath, and the woman eventually, of course, is there for winning at the end of the routine.
Victoria Sadler, it has been a joy to meet you. And God, we admire you on Radio Gorgeous, don't we?
Absolutely.
You are one hell of a gorgeous woman.
We all are.
Yay. Awesome.
That is the best. You are so...